Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfil those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa! What a fantastic run! He scored!
That's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh, he's there!
Kane is the record!
Here's Lucas Moura.
Oh, they done it!
I'm loving big engines instead.
Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Hello, welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I'm Dan Kilpatrick. I'm at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with Tom Allnut. It's a couple of hours after full-time in Spurs' last gasp 2-1 win over Brighton on Saturday. Sonny returning to the side and coming up with a late assist for Brennan Johnson. The sixth and final minute of stoppage time. Johnson scoring at the back post to complete Spurs' comeback. Tom, let's get straight into it. Son's return, as we kind of all hoped or imagined it might be, was decisive.
Yeah, it sort of felt like a real Sonny occasion today, I thought. Even when I sort of arrived at the stadium, I know there are always a lot of Sonny fans here, but even more so, I thought, before kickoff, you know, there are kind of fans outside. There was a real sense of anticipation. I guess there was a bit of a surprise that he wasn't in the starting lineup. I think maybe we all vaguely expected that he might be, even though, you know, he obviously played a lot of minutes for South Korea. So I just think everyone knew that he was on the bench and at some point he was going to come on, you know, and there's that kind of real sense of excitement. And it was no coincidence, in my opinion, that when Ange kind of called him over, there was this real sort of swell of excitement and anticipation. And the Spurs basically scored their equaliser when the crowd was still sort of cheering. And you know, there was a real sort of momentum boost, you know. And then clearly, you know, he delivered the moment that kind of mattered in the 96th minute with 10 seconds left, you know. And without being too sort of, you know, drawing too kind of big a narrative from it, it just sort of felt like this was the kind of day where Spurs kind of huffed and puffed for a long time, created a lot of good openings, did some really good pressing, I thought, in the first half particularly, and actually snatched the ball off Brighton a lot, but just really lacked that kind of precision and quality in the final third. And essentially Sonny provided it, you know, that cross at the end was just kind of inch perfect and just gave Brennan Johnson, you know, he couldn't miss, right? And that is the difference. That is the difference between Johnson and Werner and Richarlison. And ultimately, Son, who's just a level above, and that was the difference today.
Yeah, that's it. Postecoglou called him a world-class clutch player afterwards, which kind of sums it up. And there was obviously, not to dunk too much on Werner, but quite a stark contrast between a lot of times in the first half or the first hour when Werner got in good positions on the left and his cross just didn't quite cut it. Like, a couple went into the goalkeeper. A couple just weren't quite right for Richarlison. And then Son comes on. And as you said, it wasn't an easy cross at all. It was three men he had to clear. Like, and the one at the far post, who was kind of nearest to Johnson, was the hardest one to get it round. And it was perfect. And Johnson stopped afterwards. And I don't think you'll mind if I break the embargo here, but he said something like he is a free goal, didn't he? It was right on a plate for him there. So yeah, that's the difference. I thought the triple substitution was really interesting, because we've been talking afterwards, and I was talking with Jack Pitt-Brook from The Athletic during the game, and you know, we both felt that the triple change actually kind of killed Spurs' momentum. It was weird. Like, they had a lot of control at the start of the second half, and I thought Kulusevski in particular had the right side completely locked down. He had the beating of Estupiñán. He's playing really well. He was Spurs' best player since halftime. He went off and suddenly Spurs lost a bit of shape, lost control. And they had really bad 20 minutes, which prompted Postecoglou to call for Højbjerg and Skip. And in the end, it was just Højbjerg came on and Davis had to cover for Udogi, who had cramp. But it was funny how the change worked out in the end. That was the story of the game. Postecoglou changed the game from the bench. His subs made the difference. But I felt like for a long period of that final half an hour, it looked like it was the wrong call and Spurs had kind of lost their foothold in the match.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, without taking credit away from Ange, it wasn't sort of a tactical masterclass to bring on Son, right? That was always the obvious move. And I guess, yeah, you know, Son provides the assist for Johnson. They both come on. You know, clearly that won the match. But I just felt like, I agree with you, like in that 20 minutes, it was strange because basically he called Son over, Spurs scored, and then it was a bit like, I wonder if he might have adjusted, you know, that they scored the goal, they got the equaliser, they had the momentum. I wonder at that point if he might have just thought, actually, I'll just bring on Sonny to go and get a winner. Maybe we don't need to kind of alter our shape quite so much here. And it was true that for that next 20 minutes, Spurs were just, there were nothing. They just weren't in the game. They couldn't get the ball. They were just hacking it clear at the back. They weren't playing the ball out from defence at all. They weren't keeping possession. And Brighton just kept on coming and coming and coming. And they had those two really good chances, one for Fatty, which he kind of feathered past the far post, and there was another one, wasn't there, where they basically were queuing up at the back post, and the ball came over, and I think Gilmore hit it, and it was it Van de Ven who blocked it, I think, but it was a really good chance, and everyone in the stadium could basically see, you know, that this is a goal that was waiting to happen. And I think on a different day, Brighton would have won that 2-1, you know, and those are the fine margins, I guess, and it was that kind of game actually where
this is exactly what I said in my instant match piece, by the way, that it showed the fine margins, because on another day the story would have been Ange's subs kind of costing Spurs the game, Sonny's return not being effective. As it was, the story was Sonny changed the game, Ange got it right from the bench. But I did feel that it really demonstrated that it could have gone either way.
And you're right, Kulusevski, I thought after half time, was just absolutely sensational. Now, there was a 20-minute period where he was really just almost as though he thought, right, Sonny's not on, I've got to grab this team by the scruff of its neck and kind of drag it to this equaliser, you know? He was just, he kind of motored around Lamptey at one point, and Lamptey's, you know, no slouch. He did two or three really sort of barnstorming runs within the space of about 10 minutes. And so when he came off, you sort of thought, well, he's been Tottenham's best player since half-time, you know? And it did make me wonder, did Ange kind of tell him at half-time, you're going to have 15 minutes here and then I'm going to take you off? Or did Kulusevski even psychologically think himself, like, I'm probably going to come off here for one of Sonny or Johnson? And did he kind of think, I'm just going to give everything? But either way, taking him off seemed to kind of remove Tottenham's outlet, you know. And they were so often giving Kulusevski the ball, who then carried the ball upfield. Without him, they just kind of lost all that momentum and territory. But they got away with it, you know. And I guess at the end of the day, that's the result is king, right? And it was quite a kind of game all the way through. You know, Brighton had a lot of chances, some good chances even in the first half. Tottenham had some really good chances. It was end to end. Two teams that loved pressing. We're determined to play out from the back. But to be honest, I'm not quite 100% at playing out. They got caught a lot, you know. So it was a game of lots of chances, lots of openings. And I think ultimately it could have gone either way. A draw, do you think? I think actually probably would have been about a fair result. But if anyone was going to win it, I thought probably Tottenham.
Yeah, I think if anyone was going to win it, it was Spurs. If you look at the stats, just the amount of shots and kind of half chances and openings they had, they definitely shaded that game. But just back to the subs as a final point, I think it's interesting because it kind of shows maybe you have to sacrifice that control sometimes, that control that kind of Werner, who is a very tactically smart player and is good at using the ball, and Kulusevski, who's a, you know, good at holding up the ball and, as you said, is an outlet and was kind of holding down that right flank, and sacrifice that for the two kind of quick direct players in Son and Johnson, who aren't so good at kind of controlling the game and holding up the ball and the rest of it, but can do what they did in the last minute. You know, I don't think Kulusevski would have been necessarily where Johnson was, because that's not so much his game. And obviously, Werner couldn't have done, or I doubt he would have done what Son did. So you kind of have to balance that control that Spurs had at the start of the second half with that directness and that goal threat. And as we said, yeah, I think on another day, it might have cost them losing that control. But on this occasion, it proved the difference.
Maybe that also speaks to this thing that we've been talking about, that late goals. You know, they've conceded a lot of late goals. They've also scored a lot of late goals. And ultimately, that kind of taps into Ange's philosophy. You know, he'd rather win, even in the 90th minute, even when they're under the cosh. I feel like Conte today would have been like, he would have read the game in that last 20 minutes and thought, you know what, we take 1-1 here. You know, it's not been our best day. Mm-hmm. Sonny's come on for the last 20 minutes. Let's just have what we have and we take the point and we go in back on the training ground, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Ange is thinking, okay, look, we haven't had the ball for 20 minutes here and Brighton have had two brilliant chances, but let's still go and try and win the game, you know? And that could have gone either way. Like, they could have lost and we'd be here saying, what were those changes about? But equally, you know, they got away with it, they won. And that's kind of been the story of all these last minute goals. Some have gone for them and some have gone against them.
Mm-hmm. And Bissouma also came back as well as part of that triple change. I thought he was pretty bright. Who else kind of stood out for you this afternoon?
I mean, I think that goal, we shouldn't underestimate for Johnson as well, you know, is a big goal. I mean, okay, he's saying it was a free goal, but he needs these kind of moments, I think.
It's the second time he's done it in a couple of weeks as well. Yeah. Brentford was very similar goal, wasn't it?
Exactly. And I don't think we should underestimate for a new player, a young player. It's not always about kind of consistent performances and playing brilliantly week in, week out. Sometimes it is about those kind of moments that make you feel like you're attached to a new club, and that you know you build those kind of memories with the fans, and you sort of sense that you're part of something, you know. And I really think that these are sort of the stuff that Johnson needs to not just get his confidence, but just also feel like he kind of belongs here, you know. So I didn't think he was fantastic when he came on, but I thought that was a big moment. I mean, there were a couple of slightly disappointing displays. I thought Bentancur looked a bit off. You know, he was obviously at fault for the goal. He gave the ball away. He was lucky there was another one where he gave it away, and Mitoma almost scored, didn't he?
Yeah, Vicario made a great save for Mitoma. He struggled with Brighton's press for the first half, really. Mm-hmm. I thought he grew into it, to be fair to Bentancur. He was one of the players taken off in the triple change, and I thought he had a better start for the second half. Was kind of involved in the build-up to Sarr's equaliser.
He played it out.
Started the move. He doesn't look 100%, does he? But I did think, actually, it shows just how important a fit and firing Bissouma is at the base of midfield, because I'm not sure anyone, including Bentancur, can sort of resist the press in the same way that he can, and he did in the first few months. But yeah, but Bentancur looked a bit rusty, and he was struggling with Welbeck. Welbeck was kind of all over him for the first half an hour, really. And yeah, but Vicario bailed him out with a smart save from Mitoma. Van de Ven gave away the penalty, but it was after Bentancur had lost possession, I think, to Gross on the edge of the box.
Near to the area.
Yeah, so a difficult game for him. I kind of wouldn't be surprised now if he's the one that drops out and Bissouma comes in for Wolves next weekend. It's a long way to go until then. But Sarr, I mean, we should probably talk about Sarr. He kind of showed again his value. He looked a little bit loose in possession at times, I thought, but like took his goal really well. He's got the energy.
It was a good goal, because I think he made it look easier than it was. It kind of came back to him quickly. It was on his left foot, wasn't it? And it was from quite a tight angle, I thought.
It was a really good like instinctive finish. Talking of which, should we touch on Richarlison, how you thought he played? I kind of feel like with him, like the more time he has for a chance, the less optimistic I am about him scoring it.
Yeah,
a bit like Son used to be in his first couple of seasons for Spurs. You kind of want him taking something first time when there's someone on him. When he got put through by Maddison, Richarlison in the first half, I think it was already 1-0, and a good chance to kind of equalise quickly. And Steele made quite a comfortable save in the end. I just didn't really back him, but we saw against Everton, give him kind of half a chance, he can finish really well.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of involved in so many of Tottenham's chances and openings in the first half. You could feel the crowd were getting a little bit frustrated because so much of what Tottenham were doing kind of broke down at his feet, you know, and that wasn't necessarily his fault, but it was either a missed finish or the pass wasn't quite there. There's that one where Spurs are really breaking through and Maddison was kind of sprinting around the outside of Richarlison. The pass was just a bit under hit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really work out, is it just because Spurs are having so many openings and Richarlison is playing up front that he's obviously involved in all of them? Or is it kind of breaking down because he isn't quite precise enough, you know? And I kind of agree with you. I was thinking with Charleston that he rushes a bit, you know, that he doesn't, if you kind of unfairly compare him to Kane, for example, around the box, he just doesn't quite have that pause, you know, to kind of take a breath, realise that he has some time and he can maybe just work the ball into a good position. Everything's a bit kind of scruffy, you know, he's trying to find that pass or sort of scuffle a finish somewhere, you know, but it's not quite on. I didn't think it was his best today. And I did sort of wonder even if Ange might have brought Sonny on for him, because it just kind of felt like one of those days where it wasn't going to work out for him and maybe that would have kept the shape. But in the end, I mean, you can't deny that he was there, you know, he was very involved, and there was a time when Richarlison...
Well, he passed to Son for the goal.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so he played his part right to the end and was decisive.
And there was a time when Richarlison used to play for Spurs and that wasn't the case. Like, you know, he used to come on, he'd be like, well, what did he really do today? He didn't do much, you know, so... He is there, I think, you know, it wasn't his best day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have wondered with Richarlison, because I've not really changed my view on him over the last few weeks, even as he started banging them in, that he could probably be upgraded on. But I did start to think in the last few days whether I'm just judging him on by Kane standards, you know. And I think this is an easy thing to do. Like, Spurs have had this striker for nearly a decade who was just phenomenal, and 20 goals a season was the minimum you'd expect from him. And actually, that's a incredible return that now in the Premier League you only really back kind of Salah and Haaland to definitely get to. Mm. And Richarlison's already halfway there. He's got 10 league goals. And yeah, I'm constantly kind of thinking, oh, this guy's not good enough. But I just, it was just a thought, you know, is actually he suffering from, you know, stepping into Kane's shoes effectively?
Well, it feels like 15 teams in the Premier League are probably very happy to have Richarlison as their central striker, but maybe the kind of top four or five want something a bit better.
I think that's probably fair. It does feel like Spurs are entering a new phase of the season where they've got all these options. I wrote in my preview that this would be the first time that Son and Werner played together and that Bentancur and Bissouma played together. But as it happens, Bissouma came on for Bentancur and Son came on for Werner. So actually they haven't played together yet. Mm. But little things like that, there's a lot more options now suddenly. And, you know, everyone's back from international duty, everyone's fit. And I guess we saw, to go back to the subs, the impact of having a strong bench. It possibly hasn't really had kind of five players he trusts who he can bring on in many games this season, perhaps any games apart from today. Mm. But today he was obviously very happy to kind of use his subs.
Yeah, you definitely looked at the bench today and for the first time this season you thought, you know, there are three or four players there who can change the game, either because they're really good attacking options or just because they're very good rotations for someone. You know, they're just mm-hmm. as good, you know, Bissouma, for example, you know, and that obviously makes a big difference. I guess I'm slightly conflicted because I sort of think, on the one hand, that depth is really important and that kind of changed the game today. The other, I think, flip side of that is that I still think Tottenham in their front three need to improve the quality, you know, and that is also kind of one, the other takeaway today is it feels like they have a sort of a nice collective there of four or five players who are all kind of 6, 7 out of 10s at the moment. And they either need one of those to kind of go up a level, they either need Werner to sort of find his form or Johnson to explode or whatever, or they need to kind of make a big signing in the summer, mm-hmm. which kind of, you know, marry something with Son, because today was just a clear example that when you have, you know, you can have 3 or 4 or 5 sort of 6 or 7 out of 10 forwards, but you ultimately need that 8 or 9 out of 10 player to make the difference. Yeah. You know, so it's almost like they have the depth, but they're still a little bit short, in my opinion, of that kind of elite quality.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Postecoglou's spoken several times this season about how he feels the quality in this attacking third is still the bit where Spurs have most room for improvement. He's sort of said he thinks there's huge scope there to get better. So I do think that there's something in that as well. Like when these players kind of click into gear and get to know each other a bit better, I think it'll all look a bit smoother up there. It does feel a bit clunky at times, I suppose. Just one pass or a touch or whatever it is, or a run away from scoring. I also think that there's a case that there's a few players in the team at the moment who just aren't fully up to speed. We touched on Bentancur, but I think Maddison's another one. It's not the Maddison of the first few months yet. He's not got that kind of buzzy quality back where he's just sort of everywhere. He was influential today, and again, he was involved in the third goal. I think he passed to Richarlison, who then passed to Son. Mm. But
and that pass in the first half where
he put Richarlison through.
You know, there were some nice glimpses, but I agree with you as a whole, he wasn't quite as buzzy as a good word as he was in the first few months.
Mm.
Mm. But this is a big win, I think. You know, Brighton, every time I watch Brighton, I think what a kind of tricky, clever team they are, like so well coached, so dangerous, they press so well, they create good chances. And okay, they don't have the kind of star quality of the sort of top four or five teams in the Premier League, but they're a really hard team to beat. And I think they will beat, you know, some of those teams that Spurs are trying to kind of beat to finish in the top four, you know. So this is a good win, you know, even though it was a bit of a smash and grab right at the end. I think this is a really important win as well, because Villa playing United tomorrow, and this kind of sets that up really nicely.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, just for the momentum going to this little run of home games, first we've got Wolves next, then it's Crystal Palace at home, two games that they'll be expected to win. And had they drawn this one, the form would have not looked great.
I mean, one win in five.
Is that right? Yeah, well, there you go. And it has felt a bit stuttery. They haven't really had their rhythm and flow. And I did feel as it was kind of ticking towards the 1-1 draw, I just thought this is going to sort of knock the stuffing out of them a little bit, because this was supposed to be about the return of all their players and Postecoglou having his best team again and a fully fit squad. And it would have been a bit deflating. But I think the opposite is now true. You know, they've got this lift from a late win despite not playing that well, and which, you know, that should put them in, you know, a decent position going into, to, yeah, as I said, two games that they'll be looking to win. And then it's Villa away in what feels like, you know, could be a sort of six-pointer for kind of fourth place potentially coming into the season.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for listening. We will aim to be back perhaps in the middle of the week with Marcus and Tom Barkley to get into things in a bit more detail. But until then, bye for now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.